you guys are here, and it's just wonderful to be with everybody today. I'm trying to find my place. Brother James and other people have talked to me off and on over the years, like, you need to do one of them old iPads, computer deals and all that. You need to get with the current century and all that. I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that. I like doing it this way. Anyways, Luke 8:41, that's where we're going to start today. Look on your bulletins, Luke 8:41. Look on the monitor. What we got here, we're gonna talk a little bit about this guy, Jairus. I don't know if I'm saying his name right or not. That's how I was taught to say it. That's how I say it. Other people say it a different way. We're going to call the guy Jairus today. Jairus came up a few weeks ago when we were doing a different study, and I just happened to go over his story, and I pulled from it for whatever we were talking about. But I hadn't, since then, I haven't forgot about Jairus. And he's one of the guys that we don't know much about him. He's barely in Scripture. But as far as a father goes, happy Father's Day, as far as a father goes, this guy right here really, really speaks to me. I get it. I understand it. And I really like the guy. So anyways, we got this story here. Jesus is doing, we're going to share a little Bible story this morning. Jesus is doing his ministry thing. The minute he's at the, just the crowds are just phenomenal. He can barely move. Everywhere he goes, there's just people pressing on him from every single area. So as he returns to the beach or the coast, there's this huge crowd that is already waiting for him. And one of the guys there is this guy named Jairus. Now, Jairus was a leader of a synagogue, okay? So this would be a guy of high standing. This would be a guy that would be well known in his community. This would be a guy that probably was used to getting things done and people looking up to him. But Jairus has found himself in a predicament that only God can handle. And so as we're talking to fathers, and it's not just for fathers, but this guy is a dad, and it's been speaking to me for a while, this Jairus cat. But this is for everybody, all right? So here's Jairus. Let me just read this for a minute. And there was a man named Jairus who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. Look at this situation that this guy's in, okay? He's got a 12-year-old little girl. It's his only daughter. And we all know that daughters are special to daddies. Boys are special to daddies too, but there's just something about little girls. So anywho, Jairus, what we see here, man, is this guy really had to humble himself. He had to humble himself and realize, I can't do it on my own. If my kid is going to make it to the next day, it's out of my hands. There's nothing I can do about this. It's out of my hands. But there's this guy, Jesus. If there's any hope, it's going to be in him. So that's really the meat and the potatoes of this little message this morning is gentlemen, fathers, we got to put our trust in Jesus Christ. We got to, and I'm not just talking about our salvation, but we live in a crazy world where everything's coming against our kids, everything's coming against us, and you ain't the most popular person in the world because you're part of a church, okay? You've kind of lost your standing in the community. We're not the people that people look up to anymore, okay? But here we are. We serve the Lord in the ungodly or the unsaved, the pagan, the unbeliever. They just don't get it. They don't understand. And we just live in this world where there's all this bombardment on our kids day and night. And you can get all the self-help books and all that stuff and go to seminars and everything on how to be a good dad, be a good parent. That's all fine and dandy. But look, we have got to lean on the Most High God. We have got to lean on Him. We have to follow His teachings. There's no hope for, I'll just say it like this. There's no hope for our kids without God. There's no hope for us to be the parents we're supposed to be without God. Can I get a witness? Does that make sense? I'm not saying that you're a crummy parent if you're just now going to church. I'm not saying you're a crummy parent if you've always done it on your own. I'm just saying now's the time that we need to tap into this amazing, awesome resource. You know, the creator of the universe says, I want to be part of your parenting experience. I want to help you through this. We want to raise up some godly children. Amen. And there came a man named Jairus who was a ruler of a synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet. See, look at this humility. This is a big time. This would be a a very well-known religious leader for this community. And this guy runs up to Jesus' feet and falls at his feet, pleading, Jesus, please come back with me. Brothers and sisters, we got to humble ourselves before the Lord. We got to understand. This is actually the truth of the matter. We got to humble ourselves and understand that my only hope in this world is leaning on Jesus Christ. That's my only hope. Okay, look with me at James 4 and verse 10, please. James 4 and verse 10. I believe it's on your bulletin. James 4 and verse 10. And we're gonna jump over to James quite a bit. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but we're going to go kind of from Luke to James a lot. Brother Dalton has been killing it. He's been doing the study in James, so James is kind of fresh to me right now. But James 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Humble yourselves before the Lord. Moms, dads, we got to get to that place where we realize, I can't do it on my own. So there's a lot of things that you can do, church people, but there's a lot of things that you can't do on your own. And we're talking about raising up godly men and women. Amen? And so we have to humble ourselves. We have to lean on the Most High God. We got to realize, I can't do this on my own. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I believe it's the Message Bible or the Message paraphrase that says, kneel before the, and I'm going to paraphrase, but kneel before the Lord, and he will lift you back up on your feet. Kneel before the Lord, and he will lift you back up on your feet. I just love that so much, because that's the deal right there. Go before the Lord like Jairus and say, God, I need you. This is a crazy world, man, and I don't know what to do. I'm kind of at a brick wall. I'm at a roadblock. I'm at a crossroads. I don't know what to do with these babies. I only get to see them at this amount of time. They're at this age. I don't know what's going on. Okay, godly dads, we humble ourselves before the Lord and say, I can't do it without you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you, or he will give you the help you need. See, the good Lord doesn't leave us alone. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, we can run from him. We can certainly run from him, okay? And just like the prodigal son's father, he's going to be waiting there for us. He's going to be waiting there for us. And he is a faithful God. But see, he's always there. He's my present help in my time of trouble. Look at James 4 and verse 6. But he, this is good too. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So that's just a real fiery little stick of dynamite right there. Okay. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud. So somebody pointed me out in Scripture. I'm certainly no theologian or anything like that. But somebody can show me in Scripture where God has anything good to say about pride. It's not in there. It's not in there. Matter of fact, we just read God opposes the proud. So moms and dads, fathers, We gotta be at that place where we understand, I can't do it on my own. You know, it's like what the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. For when I am weak, I am strong. For when I am weak, I am strong. What in the world does that mean, Apostle Paul? Look at your neighbor and say, what does that mean, Apostle Paul? Well, it's like this, isn't it? When I realize that I can't do it on my own, when I realize there's some things that I can't do on my own, well, I pull my strength from God. Remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I am weak, I can be strong. When I realize I cannot do this, I don't know what to do, all right? The world says this, I don't know what to do. Well, let's see what the good book says. Let's see what the Bible says. I can do all things through Christ. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, how about that weather, huh? Oh, my gosh. Anywho, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So here we are, mom and dads. Here we are, dads, saying, God, I need you. And see, so when we humble ourselves like Jairus and say, there's no way around this other than Jesus Christ. And we give it to Jesus. He has that grace for us, that unmerited favor, that favor you didn't earn, that favor you don't deserve, all right? But like I always like to dig a little deeper on what that grace means to me or what that looks like, You know, it's God's favor, but okay, this is how I get through the tough stuff. God has grace for me. That means God has what I need. God has what I need for the job at hand, whatever that is. Does it make sense? He has grace for me. You all right, good buddy? God has what we need. Give the Lord some praise. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, so we're talking about this cat, Jairus, going through this tough time. I can only imagine how his heart is. He breaks away from his family, and he goes to seek out this Jesus guy. And thank you, Lord, he actually is able to meet with Jesus, and he falls at his feet, and Jesus begins to walk with him or travel with him back towards his home. Luke 8 and verse 43. Okay, well, hold on. Let me finish the verse. Luke 42, I think it was. Okay, Luke 8:42. For he had an only daughter about 12 years old of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him. So here we go. Imagine, oh, cool, Jairus dealing with all this. And okay, moms, put yourself in a situation. Dads, put yourself in a situation. All right, this is one of the reasons why I really, really like this guy, Jairus, because I really can identify with him a little bit. You know, here's this guy, finally meets up with Jesus. That's a miracle right there. You know, he's got this audience with Jesus. And as they begin to go, the crowd that was all around Jesus is just moving with them. And more people are clinging to Jesus as they travel down this road back to Jairus' house. All these people are pressing upon them. So this is a slow-going trip. Can you imagine walking from here to, I don't know, the river down there? And you have to walk, but every step people are pressing on you in this heat that we're in right now. And see, you're not even worried about the crowd. You're not even worried about the heat, but you're like, my daughter is at the end of this road. I've got to get back to my daughter. I've got to get Jesus back there. And none of these people seem to care. They don't really care. They got their own things going on, okay? But my life is in turmoil right now. I left my daughter to be with Jesus. We got to get back to the house, and it's getting harder and harder and slower and slower. And to add insult to injury or whatever, I don't know if that really fits here, but okay, here's Jairus, you want to just call him Jerry? There was this guy, and as they were traveling, Clayton Berry, there's another thing that happens, man. The crowd just comes to a complete stop, because there's this woman that was expecting a healing from Jesus. She said, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. So what we got now here, if you're listening, we got two people. We got the lady with the issue of blood. This lady's been bleeding for 12 years, okay, that she knows her only hope is Jesus Christ. We got Jairus that says, my only hope is Jesus Christ. And I think there's something that we can apply to our lives this morning, Brother David. Our only hope in this world, our only hope to be good parents, our only hope to get through this is Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. Okay. Well, there's something going on there, right? The world doesn't really have the answers, does it? You know, the world doesn't have the answers for what you're going through, okay? We need the Lord Jesus. So we need to stop pretending like we can do it on our own. And sometimes dads are pretty good about thinking we can do it all on our own. Well, you know, truth is we can't. And we need to come to that place where we humble ourselves and realize, God, I need you. It's the old story of the dad driving around and getting lost because he won't ask for directions. You know, sometimes we just need to ask for direction. We just need to ask God, God, what do I do? Amen? Okay. For 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him. This is the woman with the issue of blood. She'd been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. Isn't that cool? That's super awesome, unless you're Jairus, you know, who really needs to get to the other side of town. He really needs to get to his bedside of his daughter, okay? But the crowd went from barely moving to a complete stop. This woman touches Jesus, and then Jesus does this right here. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? Now, that's funny in itself, ain't it? Because there's tons of people. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you. It could have been anybody, Jesus. Now, this is cool. Verse 46. But Jesus said, someone touched me. Different than all these other people that are grabbing at me. Something different happened. Somebody really touched me. Somebody was expecting something. Not just a show. Not just, hey, maybe this guy will do something really, really cool. Or, man, I can't believe Jesus is in my town right now. Let me just see if I can get a selfie with him. You know, it's not like that. Somebody reached out and said, I need you. I can't do this without you. I'm dead in the water without you. That's what Jesus is trying to say. No, somebody touched me expecting something. And I just want to tell us parents, moms, dads, Christian folk, when we ask God, let's expect God to move. When we ask God, let's expect God to move. You know, we still serve a miracle working God. We really, really do. And I know that we can look at our lives and say, well, God, why didn't you do this miracle? I really needed you to do this miracle. Man, his ways are above our ways. I'm not going to say I understand all of it. But that's the point God tries to make when he says, my ways are above your ways. You don't always get it, but trust in what you do know. Trust in the promises that I've given you. Amen. Does it make sense this morning, church people? But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. Expect God to move. Amen. And let's do that. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with us not expecting God to move? Why don't we expect God to do anything anymore? You know what I mean? Let's take this thing serious. We're calm, cool, and collective, Dalton, when it talks about our salvation. Like when we make that commitment to Jesus Christ and we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we're like, okay, I'm saved, man. I got my ticket. But sometimes we're like, we don't expect him to do anything else. We just kind of put him in that little box. No. We serve a God that can do mighty things. Remember Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. But look at Jairus' situation, man. Like I said, I can totally identify with this guy because he has got to just be, you know, bouncing up and down, wanting to pull his hair out, wanting to say, Jesus, can we please move forward, man? My little girl. You know, and sometimes we can get upset because we don't think Jesus is moving fast enough, or we don't think Jesus is really concerned about my situation, or heaven forbid, sometimes we can even think, well, Jesus is playing favorites. Jesus doesn't care about my situation. I mean, Jairus could certainly be going through something like that right now. Look at all these people. They don't have the problems I got. And here they are just slowing down this thing. I need Jesus to be with my daughter right now. Look at all this, man. None of these people really care. No one is devoted to Jesus like I am. I'm not saying that's what Jairus was thinking, but I do know what mind battles feel like. I do know what it feels like to be attacked by Satan. And so when you see somebody else being blessed, when you see somebody else just God really blessing them, just rebuke any kind of attack from Satan where he would want to get you to look down or be bitter against somebody else or get mad at God. I'll give you a chicken waffle flavor sample. I'm sorry. All I could say is I'm sorry. No, baby, let's not talk about that. I'm sorry. Okay, so what are we talking about? And I'm really, really sorry about that. My mind just does these weird things. But you guys are here, you know, and I love you. So anyways, what's going on here? Thank you, Jesus. Example. You know, so Jairus has all these opportunities where Satan can be whispering in his ear. Dude, you're the one guy in this crowd Jesus really doesn't care that much about. He knows. As far as I know, Jairus, you're the only person here that's got a loved one dying as we speak. You know what I mean? None of these people care. Doesn't seem like Jesus cares. You know, and we got to just rebuke that nonsense. Rebuke that nonsense and stand on the word of God. Stand on God's promises. I remember, and I've used this example before, but Jairus really speaks to me because of the situation that I went through with my father. You know, that's one of the things that, and I'm a father myself, but this anxiety that I am pretty certain that Jairus is going through really reminds me of those last days in my father's life. But he's doing just fine today. He's having a great Father's Day. Thank you, Jesus. And so anywho, I'm sorry to bore you with the same example, but it means a lot, man. It means a lot to me because I can identify with it, and hopefully you can identify with it. I'm in Pensacola. My sister calls, and she says, Paul, you need to don't go to work today. I was like, I'm already on my way to work. I think you need to come back, Dad. Dad, I don't think Dad's going to be around much longer. I'm paraphrasing. But anyways, I go to work, and I say, you know, I'm going to work half a day, then I'm going to get out of here. The whole day I'm working, I'm just anxious. I need to be back in Milton. I need to be back with my family. I need to be at my father's side. I know time's precious. Those moments are running out where I'll be able to be with him on this side of Jordan. And I know that. That's not a surprise. So I leave work around lunchtime, something like that. Now, this is December 21st. And I realize, man, if I don't go and get some stuff, some Christmas stuff, for my kids, for my wife right now, they're not gonna have anything from me because I'm not gonna come back to Pensacola. My father's in this situation. I don't know what's awaiting me. So I really wanna go home. I really wanna go be with my father. But I drive by the mall, I say, man, okay, let me just go in here and get some stuff. And I'm in the mall and I'm looking at all these people laughing and having a good time and Christmas bells and all that. And I'm like, man, it was just aggravating me, you know, because, hey, my father's dying and no one cares, you know. That was just a little lie from Satan, you know. Certainly God wants us to be happy, you know, and experience his joy no matter what we're going through. But I begin to be anxious, really, really anxious, man, and just super stressed out. I need to be at home. I need to be home. But there was things I had to accomplish, or I felt like I had to accomplish them. Anyways, it was grueling. The point I'm trying to make is it was grueling for me to go through these never-ending lines, to pick up these trinkets. And I'm not really a good gift giver anyways, but I wanted to get some stuff. So, you know, long story short, it was just agonizing to be in these lines when I really wanted to be at home. And so I can only imagine, and this is my father. This is my father who lived a godly life, and I knew exactly where he was going. And when he did pass away, and he had lived a very fruitful, productive life for the kingdom. So, but Jairus here, he's talking about his little girl. He's talking about his daughter, you know, his baby. So I can only imagine how he feels. That's what I'm trying to say. And then here the crowd has stopped. Jesus is conversing with this lady. You can only imagine, right? Okay, look at James 4 and verse 7. Let's do James 4, verse 7. I have no idea where it's at on this. Oh, there it is, right there. Thank you, guys. James 4 and verse 7. Because Satan will throw those fiery darts. I'm a horrible dad. I'm a horrible mom. Boy, you know, I've blown it. There's no reason to try now. You know, my kids know all about my hypocrisy. They know all. Who am I to tell them they need to start praying or going to church? You know what I mean? Okay, it's never too late to get involved. It's never too late. Amen. It's never too late to say, you know what? I wasn't a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect dad. But this I know, I cannot do it. We're talking about humbling ourselves before the Lord. And so sometimes we have to humble ourselves before people. We have to humble ourselves before our children. Say, yeah, you know what? I have been a crummy dad. I haven't been perfect. I have been living a double life. I have been doing this or doing that, you know, but no more, man. No more. I can't do it without God. And I want you to understand that you can't do it without God. Can I get a witness? So James 4 and verse 7, talking about those fiery darts that Satan wants to throw at you to get you bitter and frustrated. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's a picture of humility right there. God, your will be done in my life. God, I submit to you and your leadership. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Is that true? Is that a true statement? Does that really, really work? Yeah, it does. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist him. Don't listen to this nonsense because in your heart, you know it's not true. In your heart, you know so anytime anything goes against this book right here, it's contradictory to what Jesus says. Yeah, resist it. Don't pay it no mind. When somebody whispers in your ear, whether it's human or the devil or a demon or your own self saying, you know, you really are just a piece of poop. You really are. Look at your neighbor and say, no, I'm playing. Oh, tell the truth, shame the devil. No, I'm playing. But, you know, Satan tells us these horrible, horrible things, and it's not true. It's not true. That's what you've done in your past. That's not who you are. That's not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. You are someone that is loved by God. You are someone that loves you so much that he sent his son to die a grueling, agonizing, embarrassing death so we could live forever. You are greatly loved. Amen. So resist the devil when he attacks your mind. We got to move forward. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." So guys, we got to expect God to move. You know, James says, "We have not because we ask not." I think it's James. I sure hope it's James. It's in the Bible somewhere. It's in James. Somebody help me. Okay. Look at Psalms 40 and verse 1. Psalms 40 and verse 1. Let's let King David get involved in this. And we don't have much more to go. Psalm 40 and verse 1. Oh, King David, we're going to Psalms 41 and 2. Expecting God to move. I waited patiently for the Lord. You think Jairus was waiting patiently? I don't know. I don't really have a clue what was going on in his mind, but I know what it's like to be a father. I know what it's like to be stressed out, man. You know. But see, David's onto something. He says, wait patiently. My life has been messed up for 3 years, man. How insensitive you to say, wait patiently. No, we wait on the Lord, and it's in his perfect timing. You know, we want it when he wants it. Can I get a witness? That's the best. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Isn't that cool? Christian people, church people, isn't that cool? That you never, every tear you have ever shedded, every tear you've ever shed, every tear you've ever cried, God has been right there with you. And your tears are precious to him. And that's a real thing. You know, when it talks about that verse, the Lord keeps our tears in a bottle. You know, I don't know if that's a real thing as far as God seriously does that in heaven or if that's just a picture. I don't know. But he's mentioning it because he wants us to understand how precious we are to him. And back then in the Bible days, man, even in pagan cultures, man, they had these really fancy bottles, dude, that they were to keep tears in, you know. And so the reader of that particular verse would get it. Yeah, God really, really cares about me. And he does. Okay, so anyways, he drew me up from the pit of destruction. That's the name of my new Christian metal band, Pit of Destruction. No, I'm playing. He drew me up. This is verse 2. He drew me up from the pit of destruction. But see how serious David is about this? He's like, I was in the pit of destruction, man. In my mind, I was not in a good place. God heard my cry. I'm waiting patiently on him, and he heard me. And I was in the pit of destruction. That's not a pretty picture. He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. See, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Kneel before the Lord and he'll lift you back up on your feet. We got to realize, man, that he is my only hope. That he's my only hope to be any kind of father or to be any kind of husband or to be a mother or a Christian in general, to be productive for him. You know what I mean? To live that God-pleasing life. We can't do it without him. Amen. All right, let's go to the next slide. Luke 8 and verse 49 is where we're at. While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house. Oh my goodness gracious, man. Jesus is still talking to this lady. She's been healed. She's been healed, and Jesus is talking to her. Now, Jairus sees somebody that he recognizes coming from the other direction, one of his people. While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." Isn't that crazy? So here's this guy, leaves the house, could have been holding his little girl's hands during those last moments. Leaves the house, tracks down this Jesus guy. Things are looking really, really good. Jesus starts walking in that direction, but the crowd starts cramming in on him. They're barely moving. And then this lady does this thing because she needs a healing or she's going to die. And then he gets this news. Ah, man, you really blew it. You really, man, you weren't there. You weren't there. She's dead. And then Jesus says this. Jesus overhears these guys talking, right? And Jesus says this. Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. So Jesus is saying, it don't get no more hopeless than the news you just got, okay? But I can do all things, you know? Nothing is dead. Nothing is dead. It's not too late to be the dad that God has called you to be. It's not too late to stand in the gap for your children. Okay, it's not dead. There ain't no fat lady singing, you know what I mean? I can't believe I said that. Okay. Okay, so anyway, but Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. You can imagine Jairus. Now Jairus doesn't shoo him off. The guy says, don't trouble the master anymore. Don't trouble him anymore. Just let him go do whatever he's got to do. He's got a big-time ministry going on. He's got other fish to fry. There's nothing he can do for you anymore. And Jairus like, only believe? That's over. That's like... it's funeral planning time now. No, it's not over till God says it's over. It's not over till God says it's over. And look here, it says, don't trouble the teacher anymore. Look at James 1 and verse 5. Jesus wants you to trouble him. It's no trouble at all. Listen, we can't do it on our own. Okay? If any of you lacks wisdom, right? I was just doing, you know, when I raised my hand, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter, Rhonda. You seen the commercial about the deodorant things? Yeah. Never mind. Never mind. Confident, dry and secure. Raise your hand. If you're sure. You know what I mean? Okay, never mind. Moving forward, ma'am. James 1 and verse 5, you know you're messing up when your mama starts praying in tongues in the front row. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. Lord. You know, okay, I love you. James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, do you lack wisdom? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Hey, we want to be the best dads we can possibly be, right? We want to do that. We want to be best all-around person we can be for the kingdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Sometimes we don't know what to stinking do, man. We don't know which direction to go to. We might feel like we've been treading water. We're just on life support. We don't know what to do right now. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Listen, we need help. We ask God, okay? We get into the Word of God. I promise you there's an answer in here for whatever you're going through. All right? He's not going to tell you which place to go get your oil changed at, you know? But any real question you have, the answers are in there, okay? Ask God. Go before Him. Pray. Pray. Give it to God. Get in the good book and let Him answer you, okay? Listen, we need Him. You can't do it on your own. That's what I'm trying to say. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Listen to that, without reproach. Remember the guy said, don't trouble the teacher anymore. And this verse in James says, he's going to give generously without reproach, meaning he's not going to snap at you. He's not going to get mad at you. He wants you to ask Him. Amen. We have that wonderful blessing. So, okay, what are we doing here? Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. So, you know, us as Christians, man, this is the deal. You know, in this day and age and all the times in between, but it's definitely right now, we got to live by trusting in God. We got to listen to His voice. We got to do what He wants us to do. You know, we live by faith, not by sight. Plain and simple, man. I trust in God. I trust in God. That's what we got to do. We got to trust in God. You can't depend on your government. You can't depend on this. You can't depend on that. But we got the Most High God who will never leave us or forsake us. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Do not fear, only believe. Let's back that up by looking at Psalm 138 and verse 8. This is King David again, trying to wrap things up. But I really, really, really love you guys. Psalm 138 and verse 8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. How about that? How about that? Here's Jairus. Steve, here's Jairus. He just got the worst news, the news you never want to hear. And he's dealing with oh my gosh, I should have been there. This obviously was a huge waste of time. You know, I should have been there with my baby girl. I could at least held her hand when she went to eternity. You know, she won't have that. I won't have that memory because I went on this wild goose chase. And this woman with the issue of blood over here done messed up everything for me. But good for you, lady, with the issue of blood. You ain't got no issue of blood no more. Good for you. Great. That's awesome. We shouldn't feel that way, right? Like, seriously, we shouldn't feel that way. You know, Satan whispers that kind of rubbish in our ear. Rebuke that nonsense, all right? We rejoice with those who rejoice. We mourn with those who mourn. So look, Psalm 130 and verse 8, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. God will perfect that what concerns me. Okay, well, it looks hopeless. Ah, it's not hopeless. God's got a plan. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got a plan. It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. When I don't know what's going on, let's stand on what I do know. His love for me has not faltered, okay? He is faithful even when I'm faithless, and his love endures forever, all right? He's going to be right there, and he says, hey, man, I got a plan for you. I got a plan for you. And it, quite frankly, it's bigger than the plan that you have for yourself. And it's not exactly always going to line up exactly together, but you want my will to be done. I want my will to be done, not your will to be done. And we got to come to that place where we're like Jesus in the garden saying, not my will, but your will be done. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. All right, let's go to the last slide, beloved. Man, I tell you what, we got some wonderful and amazing, hardworking folks over there. Okay, Luke 8:47. Now, if you're following along, we actually just went back a little bit. Okay, Luke 8:47. We're going back to the woman with the issue of blood. But first, let me finish up the story with Jairus. Jairus keeps walking with Jesus. He keeps walking with Jesus. They go back to the house. Jesus walks into the house. All these people are mourning and crying, and they're really super sad. And Jesus says, why are you crying? She's only asleep. And their sadness turns into mirth, and they begin to laugh because they're like, oh my gosh, this guy's, he's cuckoo. You know, she's obviously dead. So the world just doesn't get it, does it? The world just doesn't get it. You know, Jesus goes upstairs, kicks out these people, these doubters, man. And that speaks to me as well, man. We got to surround ourselves with the right type of people when we're going through hard times, man. You know, people that are going to build your faith up. If you get worldly advice and you follow worldly advice, you're going to get a worldly solution. All right, it's not going to be what God wants. You know what I mean? So we will surround ourselves with those people. Iron sharpens iron. Okay, we'll be around people that feel the same way I do. Jesus kicks those guys out. He says, "Mom, Dad, you're with me. Peter, James, and John, come on. I want y'all to see this." Brings the little girl back to life. Thank you, Jesus. You got your miracle, Jairus. Your daughter is alive. God is faithful, right? So real fast, you know, Jairus could look back and say, man, all that worrying, all that stress, all that agony that I put myself through was just a waste of time. That was the waste of time. That was the waste of time. Because God is faithful. Just like his word says, God is faithful. He don't lie. So anywho, now let's go back to the woman with the issue of blood. She just got healed, Luke 8:47. And when the woman, and we're almost done, I promise. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. So this was a big deal. Jesus stops the crowd and he's like, who touched me? Jesus calls it kind of a pretty big scene. Peter's like, let's just keep moving. Everyone's trying to touch you. He's like, no, somebody just touched me expecting something. And so this woman comes out of the shadows shaking, you know, because she would have been unclean. She would have been considered unclean. And she just touched Jesus Christ. She's in the middle of this crowd and she would be considered unclean. Does that make sense? Well, see, she's just been healed. So she says, it was me. She explains everything that happened. Now check this out. Because we want to be the best parent we can be. We want to be the best Christian servant that we can be. All right. Well, we're going to get that from leaning on the best father in the world. And if you've never had an earthly father that was worth a hill of beans, okay, I'm not saying you do or you don't, you know. But I'm saying you have a heavenly father that will never leave you or forsake you. You know, you have a heavenly father that is completely faithful. And remember, I don't have time to go into all this right now, but let me just say this. Your heavenly father knows exactly how you feel. He loves you with an undying love. And he says, "You, the past, you give it to me. You ask me to forgive you, I throw it away. It's like it never happened. You are now my child. You are now in my family. You are now royalty. We are now part of the most precious family in all eternity." Amen. See, check this out. This woman touched him expecting. And then in verse 48, we see something really, 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 really awesome and cool. We get to see this picture. Well, this woman, okay, let me just read this. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. There's a lot going on in those few short words. Jesus Christ just called her daughter, not a daughter of Israel, not just a play on words. Hey, sweetheart, daughter, whatever. He's speaking for God the Father, right? He's saying, You are our daughter. You are my daughter. You're in the family now. Why? Because your faith has made you well, not just physically, but spiritually. She knew her only hope was Jesus Christ, and she gave herself to Jesus Christ. And he says, daughter. Well, I don't quite understand that. Jesus is the Son. How? Okay, look. John 14 and verse 9. Is it right here? Look at John 14, verse 9. Okay. Talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, right? Jesus speaking for God the Father, John 14, 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Okay, so Philip, one of the disciples, says, hey, show us the Father. How about that? Show us the Father, Jesus. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me, whoever has seen Jesus, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Isn't that cool? Jesus doesn't say anything unless the Father tells him to say it. And he just calls this woman daughter. She's in the family now, all right? So that's pretty cool, man. We'll see this lady one day, man. Isn't that cool? Okay, so we're talking just, and I know that's kind of a silly point to make, but I'm just talking about, we got a dad, man. If you don't have a dad, you still got a dad. You got the best dad ever, right? Okay. Well, okay, this whole rigmarole, you're talking about daughter. You know, why does that mean she's saved? Okay. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You're with me now. Go in peace. Okay, so let's look at one other dude real fast. I don't know if I put this on here or not. Okay, yeah, look at John 5, 14, part B. Okay, remember that dude at the Pool of Bethesda? Remember that guy who had been paralyzed, invalid for like 38 years? Jesus says, hey, do you want to be healed? Jesus heals him. All right, this dude is made completely physically whole, not spiritually, okay, but physically well. And Jesus says this to him. Okay, I'm trying to seal the deal in your mind that this lady is now in the family by how he answered her. John 5, 14b. See, you are well. Sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you. Jesus calls that dude out. He's like, yeah, I just fixed you up. But you better have a life change here. You better have a heart change here. Or are you laying by this pool for 38 years in agony and misery is nothing compared to what waits for you for all eternity. All right? So this lady is in the family. Congratulations, lady with the issue of blood. Why am I trying to bring this out? We have a wonderful Father. Look at, in closing, 1 John 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3 and verse 1. And we're going to close with this. See what kind of love the Father has given to us? Or I like that translation, that see what kind of love the Father has lavished on us? See what kind of love the Father has given to us? Listen, listen. See what kind of love God has given to you, all right? He loves you so much. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God? And so we are. I like that little hook on the end that John says. He's not just saying we're children. That's not just something we say. What up, brother? What up, child of God? He's not saying that. He's not just saying that. We are that. We have been adopted into the family of the Creator of the universe. You see what I'm saying? Now look, okay? Now look here, okay? It wasn't as easy as him just picking you out, because he did. He picked you out, because that's what adoption is. That's what adoption is. I'm taking you. I'm picking you out. Like, you say, I'm not worthy. No, we're not worthy. That's the beautiful part about it. I wouldn't have picked me, but he picked me. And I'm just being honest with you. He picked us out, okay? He handpicked us. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. But it wasn't as easy as him just picking us out. See, we're sinners, man. We're nasty, rotten sinners. God can't have anything to do with sin, but he loves us so much. What are you trying to say, Paul? I'm trying to say that God sent his only son that didn't deserve death. He was perfect to die in my place, to pay for my sins. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, was nailed to a cross because God loves me so much. My sin was placed on the back of Jesus. Your sin was placed on the back of Jesus. And Jesus' righteousness was imputed to me. That's how much he loves us. That's what the adoption is. It's like somebody had to pay for that sin. Somebody had to clean the slate for us. We couldn't do it on our own. God sent his only son, his only begotten son, to fill that gap, to connect us with God the Father, so our sins can be forgiven. That's how we got adopted to the family, when we ask him to forgive us of our sins and be our Lord and Savior. We are blessed. That's all I'm trying to say. You're blessed. Okay, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And the world certainly doesn't get us. They don't get us. They don't understand us. You know, so, you know, you really don't have to try and fit in, because that's not going to work for long. I'm not saying abandon your unsafe friends. I don't see where that's scriptural at all. I don't see that. You know, how in the world are you going to witness to your unsafe friends if you're not witnessing to your unsafe friends? If you say, I can no longer talk with you anymore, foul, does not compute, nasty. You know, man, what are you talking about? Last week you were doing the same thing. Sometimes you still want to do it, you know? Sometimes you mess up and you do it. You ain't no better than anybody else. You're just washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know what I mean? So, that's a little rabbit trail. But anyways, you need wisdom. But don't reject people just because you've accepted Jesus Christ. And certainly don't think that you're better than them all of a sudden because you've accepted Jesus Christ. Without God's grace, that's you. Without God's grace, that's you last week. Or whatever, you know what I mean? So nobody's better than anyone else. We just accepted Jesus. Okay, the world doesn't get us. They don't understand our commitment to Jesus Christ. Well, they don't understand that he's committed to us first, that he changed our lives. You know, and he wants to change your life. So if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to do that right now. Don't do it for me, but if you feel some sort of tugging, that's not me, that's the Holy Spirit. If you want to be a Christian today, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want you to say this simple prayer with me. And if you say it and you believe it, you don't have to see sparkles or fall down backwards. It's okay if you do. if you want to. It's not about an emotional thing, although emotion can be part of it and should be part of it, but that's not what it's all about. I am asking the creator of the universe to forgive me of my sins. And if I say that and I mean that, he adopts me into that family. You are no longer a servant of Satan. You are no longer an orphan, but you belong to the Most High God. So if you want to be a Christian, if you want to know where you're going to spend eternity, because you only got two choices, heaven or hell. That's how it works. Even if you never decide, you just picked hell. That's just how it works. Okay? You sure can. Just repeat. Just guys, like what Brother Robert said, if you want to rededicate your life, let's do that. You know? Man, I know. Everybody, just if you mean it, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and I have broken your law. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and be my Lord and Savior. I will serve you for the rest of my days. Thank you so much for forgiving me of my sins and washing me as white as snow. I love you, Jesus. Amen.